Okay, I call this, I'm going to call this work session to order. In attendance today, we have our city manager, Matthew Brower, Councilman Hilty, Councilman Malver, Mayor Gwynn, myself, Council President John McLeod, Councilman Musley, and Councilwoman Mary Sue Rich. Before I turn it over to the city manager, are there any public comments to start today? Since there are none, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our city manager, Mr. Brower.
Thank you, Council President. During this afternoon's work session, we're going to talk about the IT assessment findings. If you recall, back in November, I believe, of 2013, the city council asked that a assessment be done on our IT operations. Core group was selected as a committee. They reviewed the submittals and selected core throughout of the state of Missouri. They have completed their work and are prepared to reveal their findings to you this afternoon. I'm going to invite Joe Noel to come up to introduce the core team. He served as the project manager liaison between the city and the consultant, and so I'm going to allow him to introduce that team.
Joe Noel with the city. So we started this assessment back in November, signed the contract, and have gone through all the phases as you're about to see, and we're at the final presentation to the city. So I would like to introduce from the core business group, Dan McLean and Mark Peterson.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to, as Joe said, my name is Dan McLean. I am the senior partner with Core Business Group. Mark Peterson, who will also be acting as co-presenter today, is our senior partner. I'd like to begin the presentation this afternoon by providing a couple of thanks to some people that have been very instrumental in helping us perform this assessment. First is City Manager Matt Brower. Thank you very much. Police Chief Greg Graham, back in the back there. Current CIO Winston Jacobs, over here. The Police Department CIO Tom Jenkins, here also. And also the Project Manager Joe Noel. These people have been instrumental in assisting us throughout this entire process, and we really appreciate their input. Mark, did you want to say a few things first?
I'm Mark Peterson, managing partner of Core Group, and I simply want to bring a thank you from our team to the council and to the city employees that participated so fully in this 6-month engagement. So again, thank you from the Core team to the city of Ocala.
So as Joe said, this is the culmination of an effort that began back in November. It's involved more than 100 one-on-one interviews with your staff and the people within the organization, many of yourselves included. And it's utilized Core Group's 500 plus years of experience and expertise in these particular areas and our knowledge to bring to you today what you're about to see. So please feel free throughout the entire presentation. I anticipate this will take 30 to 45 minutes. To ask any questions you want. We're here to answer anything that we can help you with. Sound good? So each of our assessments begin to follow a roadmap from the very start. It's a 5-phase project. The initiation phase, the discovery phase, the analysis phase, the improvement phase, and then the final presentation, which is where we're at today. We're going to touch on each one of these bring a little bit more detail to light as we progress. We began the initiation phase or the project planning phase back in November. We met with the team, put together a charter, and that was based upon the 5 strategic objectives of the city, the 4 strategic objectives of the city, along with the 5 objectives of the police department. We brought those together to try to establish a link between the IT organization and how they link into each one of these objectives. We began with a charter statement. You're seeing about half of it here. And the objective of the charter, as identified by both Matt and Greg, were to provide an independent assessment of all the information technology functions within the city. So we spanned both police department and city IT. And also to provide an understanding of the overall information technology environment. Right after we finished with the initiation phase, which took approximately 2 weeks, we entered into what we refer to as the discovery phase. This is the longest component. This is where our team members participate and meet with each one of your staff. And it takes a good deal of effort on our part to begin to establish a relationship and glean the information from the organization that we need. The first step in that is to meet with the stakeholders and the departmental leaders. The interviews of all of the stakeholders involved over 30 people, along with the mayor and one of the council persons, the chief of police, the city manager, and all of the departments you see here. We also met with multiple individuals within each of the departments, and these were interviews that took place either one-on-one or two-on-one. In other words, two of our people with one of your folks. And what that did is it created a report for us, or a perception of the difference between what the organization feels about the IT group and what the IT organization feels about themselves. We refer to that as a gap. The organization feels that IT is delivering services at this level, and the IT department feels that they're delivering it at a different level, sometimes better and sometimes not as well. And what that does for us is it defines the differences between the organizations, and that's really what we begin to focus on, what those differences are. We dig into each one of those to try to find solutions to bring those gaps closer together. Then we started looking into the people, the technology, and the infrastructure itself. We began by looking at a process we call operational maturity. Operational maturity is generally defined in the industry as how well and how documented processes and procedures are within the organization. If you have a procedure, I should be able to go to a shelf, pull it off, book off the shelf, turn to a page, and it should run me through that procedure. And it should be documented and repeatable and refined on a periodic basis. We also took a look at service levels and service level agreements within the organization. In other words, a service level is a commitment that the IT organization makes to each of the individual departments to deliver service at a certain level. For instance, if you had a cell phone and it broke, you would expect to walk back to the Sprint store or your local service provider and have them swap it out in a specific period of time. That's what a service level agreement does. We also took a look at the actual inventory of assets within the organization, an inventory of both the physical assets and the applications within the organization. And we looked at how the organization manages projects. From a governance and process methodology. Do they have these documented? How do projects enter the system, have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then exit the system? We then took a look at how the IT organization deals with its workflow, how they plan it, how they handle operations and service delivery. Then we map each one of those workflow processes to a diagram that identify specific people to accomplish those tasks, or what we call the RACI matrix. Then we took a look at the job descriptions to make sure that the people that were assigned to those tasks, that was actually in their job description. And we really looked for those job descriptions that had those lines that you always see at the bottom, that's other duties as assigned. We wanted to make sure that the job descriptions were related to the particular jobs that the people were performing in this assignment. We then began to look at the vendor relationships that you have with the vendors that supply services into the city. And we categorized those vendors as a standard or a preferred or a strategic partner to the city. A strategic partner might be one that you know you can call up at 5 o'clock on Friday night and they're there for you within an hour to help you. A standard partner might be somebody that you buy paper from and you know you simply don't need them to come in every day. We began to look at those from a best practices standpoint to determine, is the department following best practices in the way that they work with their vendors? And also the service levels. Do you have a service level agreement with the vendors that are supplying you those services? Do they give you guaranteed response times? How are they responding to you in times of need? Then we started to take a look at the information department staff themselves, and we looked at them through 12 different domains. It really began with their job descriptions, as we talked about earlier. We then plotted those job descriptions against the RACI, the Roles, Responsibilities, Accountability Matrix. What we wanted to find out is, are managers and staff, do they have a responsibility for it? Are they accountable for it? Are there areas that we can identify where there might be gaps? And this is just an example of a RACI. So we might have an area in red where we don't have anybody assigned, or an area in yellow might be where I've got three people that think they have the same responsibility. And we know when that happens, no one really does have responsibility. Then we looked at skill sets of the individuals within the IT organization, and we took a look at them from approximately 80 different categories. And we began to map those skills because we understand, in working with an organization of this size and this complexity, the type of skills that are necessary for the operation to run. We want to find out if there are gaps or places where skill sets are missing, or are we particularly heavy in a certain area and very light in another area. From there, we began to look at the organization from a continuity of operations perspective. This is what you would commonly refer to as a disaster recovery. How is the organization prepared to deal with a disaster? And that disaster could be a hurricane, it could be a terrorist event, it could be a flood, it could be a tornado. How well do they plan, have backup methodologies to save the data? And also, in saving that data, are we saving it for litigious purposes? Do we follow the federally mandated or state mandated e-discovery laws that allow us to pull records back that have been archived off and maybe pull up an email that's 5 or 6 or 10 years old? We then took a look at the budget for the IT organization. We examined budgets both at the IT organization level and within each of the individual departments, because many of the departments have their own small IT budget to do things that they need. We looked at it from a prioritization perspective. Do they have a plan of how they're going to spend their money? Are there standards in place? What's non-standard? Is it haphazard, or is it a strategic plan? And we began to identify vendors and spending that was taking place to ID particular cost savings that we could offer to the city. You might want to change in this particular area so that we can save some expenses. We looked at that from a staffing and systems and a maintenance perspective as well. We took each one of those expenses that were on the in the finance charts and plotted them on this chart that you're seeing now. Below the line are the things that we must do, the non-discretionary or core functions. We have to keep the lights on, we have to keep the things running, we have to keep email up. And then plotted above that, these are the discretionary items, the things that we may be able to trim to try to reduce our financial footprint within the organization. We then took that information all back, and our team sat down together in multiple workshops over a period of over 30 days and came up with a series of findings. And we're going to get into these now, but these findings, they're going to be at a very high level. Understand that there's a level of granularity down below this that has been provided to the city already, but we're going to stay relatively high level. Each of our findings are based upon this gold standard within our organization, these five categories on the left-hand side. Each of these categories flow into what we call the core group framework, and this is what really defines us from the other vendors out there that supply these services. So each of the findings you're going to see as we run through the presentation are all tied back to this particular chart. So let's take a look at the summary of the findings. The first one is citywide business technology needs are not being met. What this means is, we talked about the gap early on. The gap between the demand of what the departments need and what the IT organization delivers, the gap is simply too wide. It needs to be much closer. We need to move the IT organization so that if the department has need, the IT organization is there and ready and willing to supply that need. The overall value of the IT organization is below expectations. Now, what we mean by value is, I will give you an analogy. When you go out and you buy a car, Certainly, there's an expense to purchasing a car. But when you get that car, you've got a lot of pride associated to it. You like how the dashboard feels. You like the new smell, how the windows go up and down, how everything's smooth, and you have a lot of pride associated to that. That's what we talk about value. Yes, you know you paid for it, but you have that intrinsic feeling and just how good you feel about it. So the organization as a whole doesn't necessarily feel as good as it should be regarding the IT organization. How the organization invests and governs its spending and its strategy behind that is lacking. It's much more haphazard than we'd like to see, and we'll talk a little bit about that more in the future. Program and project management are inadequate. This stems from the fact that the programs and the projects that are run within the IT organization are not managed to a certain level. We would expect to see an organization that has certified project managers and certified program managers that follow a specific methodology, and that's simply not being done here. How we choose products, how we implement them, how we utilize them, how we support them, and how we fund them are not adequate to meet the needs of the departments. The IT organization, similar to human resources, is one of the organizations that crosses all across the entire city. So they are a service provider within the city, and in this case, also outside to your constituents. It's simply not adequate to support the needs of the business organization right now. The demand is there, but the IT organization is not meeting it. Human capital management is not centered around the needs. What we mean here is that as we grow people internally, we need to ensure that they are educated to meet the needs of the organization. And what we have here is a situation where the people have not kept up with the demand of the organization. So we don't have a positive plan moving forward of how we're going to keep them up to date, how we're going to train them, and how we're going to allow them to meet the needs of the organization. And that falls into the next one. Technology skills are not in line with what we would expect of a city of this size. The bottom line is when an IT person comes to work here at the city of Ocala, they become obsolete relatively quick. And that stems from the fact that we don't have a demand in the system to keep the education up. And that actually falls back to the old adage of, well, if I educate them, they're going to go get a better job someplace else and leave, and I've wasted all of that. And we contend that that's something to actually be proud of within a city like this. We should be proud that we bring people in that have a lower level of education and educate them and teach them how to do their job. And if they do decide to leave the city, then we should take pride in that. And that continuing education and that continuing furthering of their skill sets is simply not taking place. We talked about roles and responsibilities, and you saw the little chart with the red, yellow, and green on it. What we found is, as we look at the staff and we look at the managers, and let's say we have four managers in the department, four of them might feel that they're responsible for the same task. And in reality, what happens if you have four people that think they're responsible for it, in reality, no one actually is. So we identified several areas where the responsibility and accountability was not there. IT management is inadequately equipped to meet the demand. Many times what happens in organizations similar to this is we promote from within. When you do that and you're not bringing in fresh blood, you have a tendency to continue to repeat mistakes and processes that have happened in the past. This is the way we've always done it. So when we promote internally, we promote people that are typically good at whatever particular skill set they have. Maybe they can fix computers, maybe they can fix cars, maybe they're really good at city planning. And then we make them a manager. But when we don't provide them the skills necessary to do that next level of job, we put them at a distinct disadvantage. And that's simply not taking place here. We're not educating them to the new role that they have to attain. Ad hoc processes and procedures are the rule, not the exception. In an organization of this size, I should be able to walk in and pull a procedure off of a shelf. What that does is it ensures that if any particular player within the organization gets sick, gets injured, leaves, that their role can be filled in quickly. In this case, because the processes and procedures are ad hoc, they may know that in their head, but I'm not able to go within the organization and actually find that role and that responsibility and document and pull it off the shelf. So if Matt were to disappear today for whatever reason, he goes to Tahiti for the weekend, somebody can pull his responsibilities off the shelf and understand exactly what to do, and that's simply not the case here. Physical and network security are inadequate. In the world of open city environment, we have a tendency to keep our doors open. And this is a quandary that all governmental organizations have today. In the public sector, John Q. Public would not be able to walk in off the street and go to a conference room. In city government, there are a propensity to have that open government, so we need to put processes in place to ensure that our systems, networks, and facilities are protected. Not exactly where they need to be right now. And last, but certainly not least, we're going to talk about it a little more, is service delivery within the IT organization is not the number one concern. So let's talk about what we mean. If I were a department leader or someone within outside the IT organization and I go down into the IT organization and I ask for something, the knee-jerk reaction is to say no. It's too hard, it's too difficult, it costs too money, it takes too much time, we don't have the security to support that, whatever it is, the knee-jerk response is no. But if the response is yes, it's you'll do it my way or the highway. So you have to fit into our particular box, you have to do it our exact way. And that's really not the way a service organization should be designed. A service organization should, the first response should be to find a way to say yes. And actually we stole this from Chief Graham's police department. Find a way to say yes is one of their five items on their list. That's what we really have to get the IT organization to do. The first response needs to be yes, and the second might be, but we have to do these things in order to make that happen. And that's simply not taking place right now. So when an expectation of an organization is not being met, the tendency is for that organization to see nothing but cost. The IT organization costs too much. We give them all the money they want. They have all the people they need. They're constantly growing. They're constantly asking for more. When in reality, what the users of the IT organization demand is value. They want to feel good about it. They want that new car smell. They want the windows to go up smoothly. They want the seat belts to work great. But in the absence of that, all they see is cost. So we need to change that. We need to move the city, the organization as a whole, to a point where it sees value in the IT organization. So we need to get them from all of the negative sides on the left hand of this chart to the positive side on the right hand side of the chart. We need to move them from an informal to a formal and a consistent and strong and a managed in a strategic direction. We're going to do that using the framework that we showed you at the beginning, that pentagon of the five boxes. But any time we deal with movement or change in an organization, we have to determine how fast and how far the organization can tolerate that change. Core group, we deal with change management all the time. That's what we do. We help organizations like yourselves through these processes.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? Because I've got to leave to go to another appointment. That's a great segue into my statement.
I like being a good straight man. Mr. Mayor, so
you're talking about helping us implement these things. When he gets through with his presentation, you know, the next step is obviously implement all of this. I hope our plan is to have them finish this and implement all these recommendations that he's talking about.
Recall when we interviewed the core group, the expectation was that they would do the consulting and the work could be limited to the consulting role. That way we knew that their recommendations would not be influenced by any expectation of additional work. And so right now the contract is solely for consulting work. We believe that Joe Noel, Winsome, and Tom are the triumvirate that will have the skills that get this thing moving forward directly.
However, I would urge council members before you leave here to make sure that they do the implementation and not do what Matt's suggesting, because if we could do it, he wouldn't be standing up here telling you what we're doing. I mean, it's like alcoholic or a drug addict saying, you know. I should be in rehab, but I think I can fix myself without any help. But you need to make sure that there's someone here to implement everything he's talking about doing. And I've got to go. Make the living.
Yes, sir. Did you have a question?
Nope.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're back on.
Back on. Okay. So when we look at an organization and we're trying to determine how the organization needs to change, we have to ask how fast can it change and how far can it go? There are five ways to increase value within the organization. I'm sure there's more, but we'll limit it to five. One is to increase the revenue. Certainly we could throw more money at the organization, and the theory is the more money we throw at it, the better it's going to get. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. We can increase the productivity. We can have them respond faster. We can have them do things quicker. We can decrease the cost. We can increase the value to the organization if we strip out a whole bunch of costs, the organization might feel better about it. We can decrease the cycle time, and by cycle time, it's how fast they do their jobs. Instead of I'll get back to you in 2 days, they're at your desk in 2 minutes. That would make you feel better about it. And we can also decrease the risk in the organization. We can allow each of the departments to feel better that whatever services the IT organization is delivering to them, I no longer feel any risk. I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. Of course, they've got my best interest in mind. But when we do the how fast, how far, we work on this type of a 4x or 2x2 matrix. At the lower left-hand corner, you see an organization that has a low rate of change, going up the left-hand side, and a low use of IT across the bottom of the scale. So right now, as Core Group completed its assessment, we see the IT organization in the lower left corner of that maintenance box, in the lower left corner, where they're not changing a lot and their utilization is somewhat limited. And what the city and each of the departments and the users want is they really want it up in that 45 degree corner, up there in the high growth, high change, high utilization. The problem is that an organization that we've worked with many times, we know you can't go diagonally across that box. You have to go counterclockwise. So if you're in the lower left-hand corner, you have to move through the transformation side where the system gets shaken up. The bees in the hive get, you know, all stirred up and everything gets buzzing and you get a lot of movement around. And that's what we refer to as a transformation artist. That's a skill set. There are not many people that can move an organization from a maintenance mode through transformation. And then once that transformation takes place, once the dust begins to settle, you can move over to that growth side where the field gets plowed and the seeds get laid and we're allowing things to grow and the sunlight shines on it and it rains and everything starts to grow. And then finally we can move down to that harvester where we can pick the fruit off the trees. We can accept everything, all of the good things that we've done through the transformation of the growth, and now we're harvesting. But what we also find is organizations cannot settle and be complacent in that harvester role because things change, demands change, requirements change. So they continually iterate through this. They go around that circle multiple times. But the first step is to move into that transformation phase where we've got to shake things up. So Core Group uses this 12-model assessment. We look at the organization on each of these 12 categories, from service desk, incident and problem management, change management, configuration, release, service levels, availability, business continuity, finance, capacity, and you see that security runs across all of those. Security actually runs over into the service desk as well. And we rate the organization on that chart that you see at the top, the operational maturity chart. And it starts over on the far left-hand side with ad hoc. We don't have processes, we don't have procedures, we just kind of wing it. All the way over to through reactive, challenge, managed, and optimized. Optimized is that polished diamond or that ruby that, wow, this is really good. We're harvesting, we're picking everything off. But even organizations that are all the way up there jump back down one level every once in a while, or two levels, as they go through that iteration through the 2x2 chart again. And they become challenged and they find some other need in the organization to polish it even better. So The goal is to even iterate through this from 1 to 2 levels once you become optimized. So when we rated the organization on each of these levels, here's how we came up. It's primarily ad hoc. You see some of the components within here have a little bit of reactiveness, so there is some planning in some of the areas, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be. We want to have the organization moved up toward the right-hand side of the optimized scale. And getting them to this point is that transformation that we talked about. So why? What's the evidence? Well, the evidence shows itself every time a request comes into the organization. Anytime a request comes in, it's more people, more servers, more disks, more money, and more time. And it's further evidenced by things like the capital improvement fund, where we don't even have a plan of what those capital improvements are going to cost over a period of time because we haven't looked at things like maintenance and upgrade costs. And what this creates is an unsustainable environment. It's an out of control. I utilize these little kitties, so pardon me a second. And we call this guy here Money because he's green. And we've got this little guy here, he's pink, so we're going to let him represent people. And then this guy here is blue, and we're always blue about time. And then this last one is orange. We're going to call him quality. So when we're dealing with anything within an organization like this, we're dealing with these four kitties. And each one of these four kitties have got a finite amount of air in them. But because of the way the organization works, every time a request comes in, there's also a request to inject more air into each one of these, or more money, or more time, or more people. And sometimes the quality suffers. So our current process model is contributing to this. Let's talk about it right now. We're currently in a run, plan, build model. And basically what happens is as the organization is running, a request comes in. So we do a little bit of planning, we move over to the planning phase, and then we do a little bit of building, and then the organization, after it's done building, sends it back to the run phase. And each time we do this, each time we run through this, that IT organization grows a little bit because it demands a little more air in each one of these kitties. Because without more air, how can we possibly do it? We have to have more money, more time, more people. So literally each time we run through this iteration, the IT organization grows and grows and grows, and it just keeps getting bigger. Now this happens over a short period of time or a long period of time. It might be years that it takes. But what it creates is this upside down triangle that is unsustainable and ineffective. We can't support this. We can't allow an organization to continually grow. The city's not growing that much. It's not financially stable. So, how do we address it? How do we fix it? What's the improvement plan? We talked about these five areas. We're going to touch on each one of these for just a little bit. But first, we have to direct the organization to the organizational structure itself. First, we have to fix the organizational structure. We've got to turn this paradigm completely upside down. And that's done in a two-step process. We need to change how the organization is structured. We have to move it from a run, plan, build scenario to a plan, build, and then run. And then we have to right-size this model. We've got to put much more air into the planning side. We have to do much more planning up front. Whatever we have left to build after we plan for it, that's fine. But we've got to shrink the run side of the equation. When we shrink the run side, we do more planning up front, this now becomes a sustainable and effective model. And this is what we see across the entire industry. So what's the right model for the city of Ocala? There are basically four models of an IT organization. We're going to touch on these briefly, starting in the upper left-hand corner. The first model says the equipment is owned by us and it's managed by us. We call that internally hosted and internally managed. Moving to the lower left-hand corner, the second model is internally hosted and externally managed, which means we keep the equipment here and we own it, but we hire someone to manage it for us. The third model is externally hosted, but internally managed. So somebody else owns the equipment, but we use our people to run it. And the fourth model is externally hosted and externally managed. Someone else owns it, and we pay someone to run it. So where are we now? Well, we're here. We're in the upper left-hand corner, where we own all of the delivery, we own the hardware, the software, the upgrades, we own all the people, and we're encountering unsustainable costs from a financial perspective, and we cannot get the organization to a value position. We can't get the organization to continue injecting air into these kitties. So where do we need to go? Where does Core Group recommend we need to move? Down here, the lower right-hand corner. Tomorrow needs to present itself with strategic sourcing partners, people that we partner with, organizations that we partner with, to help supply this to the city at a more cost-effective basis. That will allow us to focus on the city's business needs and the business requirements. We will make investments that are managed to create value within the organization. And it'll be a sustainable partnership with long-term business partners. The goal has to be to minimize the on-site presence, minimize the things that are owned by us, managed by us, and controlled by us. When we do those types of things, when we move to that type of a scenario, the IT functions become externally owned and externally managed. We can focus then on the delivery of services within the department, within the city, and to our constituents. We don't have to focus on running the hardware. Our investments in IT are focused on creating value, so we only invest in things that create the value. And we train our staff from this point on that every step they do reduces cost. When we do that, we begin to unload or off-shed several areas that we're not really that good at. And we get to keep things that we want, such as security and strategic planning and control and direction. More than 50% of what we consider burdensome to the organization right now can go away and be somebody else's issue. So let's talk about costs. The bottom line is we cannot keep our workforce certified. We don't have the funds to support a workforce of 17 to 23 people and keep them certified and trained. We already talked about the day that an IT person comes to work here, they become functionally obsolete. We don't have the certifications that we recognize in the industry that a city of this size needs to have if they're going to run everything in-house. And we certainly don't have the disciplines to do it internally. The internal IT organization within the city right now is seen as free. It's like air. It's simply present. So when a request comes in and IT doesn't get more air injected into these kitties, the request typically just falls off onto the floor. We have to make each one of the departments and each request understood that there's a cost associated to deliver that. Nothing is free. We see that because every time a request comes in, they need more people, more service, more disks, more time, and more money. So the bottom line is, if we do nothing, we will be in the same place in 5 years that we are now. But each one of these kitties, over time, will continue to get air injected into it. And that air, quite honestly, is dollars. So we took a look across the state of Florida and two other states, and we did a 9-city comparison. We found cities that range in approximately 56,000 to 66,000. And we said, how many IT people do these cities have? And when we plot the IT people across these cities, this is what we found. You see a high of 23 people at 58,000 to a low of one IT person with 66,000. The city of Ocala is here, approximately 23 people if you include the police department and information, telecommunications, excuse me. So what's the roadmap? How do we change it? What do we recommend for the future? Let's look at a 6-year window. Looking out 6 years in the IT world is virtually impossible, but we're going to project. Right now, we know that the operational budget of the IT organization is approximately $2 million. We project over the next 5, 6, 7 years that if the city does nothing, we'll keep injecting a little bit of money and a little bit of air into each one of these kitties, and we'll end up someplace in the neighborhood of $2.5 million. If we move the organization to a service manager, strategic partner approach, where we offload some of these internal burdens that we have right now, this is where our costs go to. They start a little bit higher in the beginning because there's always a cost associated to starting something up, but then they drop dramatically. sometimes more than half. And what does that mean? That means that the city will see a cumulative savings over the next 5 or 6 years above $4 million. And if we make all of the investments that we know are capable, we really expect to see the possible savings at $7 million or more. So let's talk about that. Where did you guys pull those numbers from? Well, here's where we got them. We took a look at just information technology. So we left out police department, we left out telecommunications, just for this example. They're actually in our assessment. And we isolated just the salary and wages and costs for the IT department. That came to about $1.59 million. Then we took just the IT department and divided that number by 17. We came up with an average of about $93,827 per person on average. Yes, some are higher and some are lower, but that's the average. That means we run at a low of about a loading rate of about 165% of salary, all the way up to 190%. Now, what does that really mean? That means if we were to pay someone $100,000, we'd actually, after we take loaded benefits and cost and retirement, they'd be at $165,000. That's what it would cost the city. And some of them get to $190,000 or more for every $100,000 that we pay. That's an unsustainable environment. That is a tremendous load for any organization to take on. So, where do the savings come from? If we take a look at those staff salaries, and we extend them out over the next 6 years, and we keep under this old paradigm of continuing to inject air into these kitties, and let's say about every other year we add one person, that's kind of typical for an organization like this, we end up after 6 years with just a staff salaries of about $16 million, $16.2 million. That's a lot. Then we tack the capital improvements on top of those, and the annual maintenance associated to all of those capital improvements, the periodic maintenance, the service calls, the upgrades that have to happen, we end up here. So with all of the standard salaries and capital improvements and annual maintenance, we run at about $28.4 million over the next 6 years. Let's look at it in a new IT model. We take those staff salaries, the capital improvements, the annual maintenance, and then we begin to reduce the number of IT people we've got in the organization over a period of 6 years, averaging about 9, 8, 7 people across the time frame. And we add in the cost we know that it's going to cost within the industry to have those services strategic partnered out of about $50,000 a month or $600,000 a year. We look at a cumulative savings over the 6 years time span of $4.7 million. And that's a very conservative number. If we add in all the other things that we know are available, such as cumulative savings for staff loss plus managed and other sources like air conditioning and heating and electrical and telecommunications costs and transportation, and some savings from a technology investment board we're going to talk about in a minute, we know that we can get the number up closer to $7 million. Then if we add in police department and telecommunications to the equation, it can go higher than this. And I want to assure you, these numbers are very conservative. So this is where we end up in the next 6 year window. Let's go back to the Pentagon of the five areas, the five goals we have. Each of these areas end up with a goal identified for each of them. Goal number one, we have to align the IT organization with the business needs. We have to close that gap. Goal number two, we have to define how we're going to make investments as an entire city in information technology, because it's not defined right now, it's haphazard. Goal number three, we have to restructure the IT organization so that it meets the needs of the businesses. Number four, we have to increase IT's operational capabilities, how they do things, how fast they respond. And goal number five, everything we do has to be targeted toward providing value to the city. Each of these five goals have programs associated to them. Let's talk about them right now, because the programs drive the plan. Number one, we're going to build an IT value scorecard with a new position called the Chief Technology Officer. We're going to talk a little bit about that more in a minute. This value scorecard is a monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, and annual scorecard that is available for everyone across the organization to see and rate how well the IT organization is delivering services to the organization. Program two, develop a technology investment board. We need to have a way that we are going to define how our money is spent for technology investments. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a second. We have to build a program management office. We have to have project managers and program managers that are certified, trained to do their job. Program four, we have to create the Chief Technology Officer position. We'll talk about where that resides in a minute and how it works. We have to design the IT organization, redesign the IT organization, so it's focused on meeting the needs of the individual departments and our constituents. We must selectively source or partner with outside organizations to deliver our services, technology services, to the constituents in a more efficient manner. We have to train our staff to implement those IT disciplines. We have to define the service levels. We have to provide a guarantee between the IT department and the individual departments on how fast they're going to respond and what happens if they don't. And then we have to have the same type of service level agreement with our vendors. We're going to define how fast they must respond and what happens if they don't. So, in order, to provide some order, the first we recommend is the Technology Investment Board. The second is reorganization of the IT department. The third is implement the Program Management Office. Fourth is selectively source, find partners to source with to provide us technology. And fifth is the Chief Technology Officer position. Those are the top five. The other programs and goals across the rest of the matrix are things that can happen into the future, but these are things we recommend that must take place very quickly. So let's talk about the Technology Investment Board, what its role is and how it might work. The board, just like the council, is set up to make determinations of how investments are going to be made within the city on technology. And technology is just not computers. Technology is door access and security systems and other components across the city. It is co-chaired by the city manager and the police chief. It is also attended by the council president. If there are ties or disagreements between the police chief and the city manager, the council president is there to break those ties. Each of the ACMs sit on this board as well, and so does the new Chief Technology Officer position. Minus the council president, you would recognize this as what the city now calls Matt's cabinet. But the cabinet now has the police chief and a chief technology officer. The goal of this organization, which meets periodically, is to handle the planning, how we're going to plan to spend our money. Where are we going to invest? We also create what's called the Program Management Office. It has the project managers and business analysts, which we'll get to in a minute. We also build a Technology Management Division, which handles IT operations. They're the run side of the house. And Special Technologies. This is a group of people that are dedicated to the very specialized, technologically advanced components within the city. We have several of them. Things that a typical IT person wouldn't necessarily understand, such as the electrical controls, the water controls, security access, access controls to the buildings, mobile data terminals, communication systems like radios. That requires a skill set that's above a standard IT person, so we're going to segregate that off. So let's talk about how this works. We begin with the Technology Investment Board. They will be presented a particular technology to invest in. If they choose to do that, we'll get into that actual process in a minute. They would hand that off to the Chief Technology Officer, who then hands it down to the Program Management Office. The Program Management Office would be responsible for the build component, and once it's done being built, it gets handed over to the run side of the house, which would fall underneath either IT Operations or IT Special Ops. And it's those two departments that are responsible for delivering those services back into the organization. So let's get a little more specific. Let's say a department has a particular need. I want a new finance accounting system, just to pull one out of the air. They would contact the program management office, and a business analyst, a person who is certified in understanding business needs, will go meet with that particular director or leader of that organization. Understand what the needs are. That business analyst is also a person that goes out to trade shows and brings technology back to the departments. It's kind of the ombudsman into the organization between the individual department and the city IT organization. So they meet with that city person, that city leader, and it's determined that we need a new financial accounting system. They take that need back to the project management office or the program management office, and a project is initiated. The first step after the project is initiated is to create the charter. The charter is actually built with a business person from that business unit and the business analyst together. They will be paired with this project from now until it's completed or until it goes into the run phase. Together, the business analyst and that business person from the department put together a business plan. And it spells out what's going to happen with each of these kitties. The dollar, the people, the time, and the quality. That business plan with the business analyst and the business person goes through the project management office to the chief technology officer and is presented to the technology investment board. Together, the business analyst and the business person do a formal presentation of the business case. At that point, the TIB, or the technology investment board, has a choice on what it's going to do after it's heard the business case. They can say, you need a little bit more work on this, in which case it would run through another cycle. They'd go back and get some more answers. The second choice is, well, we really like your business case, but we don't have any more air to put in the kitties right now. So we're going to put that on hold. We're going to put it over in a basket. We're going to hold it here. The third case is, sorry, we're not going to invest in that. Great idea. We understand the need. We don't have the dollars, the people, the time, or the capability to deliver the quality, so we're going to shut it down. And that project never sees the light of day. And the fourth case is we approve. When the TIB approves, it's going to specify exactly how much air gets in each one of these kitties. It's going to hold the project management office responsible for ensuring that the project is successful. Together, the project manager that is assigned to it, the business analyst, and the business person from that department will report back to the TIB on a periodic basis, typically monthly, on the condition of each one of these kitties. So this board will understand how every single project and every single investment is being made within the city. So let's talk about a roadmap. We talked about the goals and the programs that drive those goals. Here's basically how they lay out over the next 3 years. In many cases, we can do a roadmap for 5 years. But in the technology investment world, we cannot look out 5 years. The crystal ball is not that good. It's very cloudy. And really, it gets cloudy at 3 years. Honestly, it gets cloudy after about 18 to 24 months. So this is how we see this rolling out over the next 36 months. The primary number one program to start with is the Technology Investment Board. Number two is reorganization of the IT organization as a whole. Number three is the creation and certification and standing up of project and program managers. Number four is begin a selectively sourcing technology out to strategic partners. And the fifth is create the technology, the chief technology officer position. So when we're talking about reorganization and potentially picking people that may work for us in the future and may not work for us in the future, we categorize these people into one of these six groups. Over on the right-hand side, this is our most highly valued people. They're the people who want to understand and know what to do. So we provide them recognition and rewards, and we have a strategy for how to keep them in the organization. Next, we have group number two. They want to, they understand what is needed, but they don't necessarily know how. So if you look down at the bottom, we provide them some coaching, and we try to move them into that number one slot. Then we get the people who want to, they don't understand, and they don't know how. So You see, we begin teaching them, and we move them into group two, and then we provide them some coaching strategy, and then we move them into group one. The goal is to take this organization, which is centered between group three and group four, and move it over so it's centered over group two. And the people down here on the right-hand side, you'll notice a dramatic change that's happened in the leadership management strategy. We begin supervising them, and we begin giving them notice about some of their improvements that are necessary. And some of them, we actually provide exit strategies. We'd like to have an organization that is centered over group two, what we refer to, and stealing from actually from the project manager, Joe, aces in their places. We want the best people doing the best job. So when we look at this nine-city comparison, and we talk about how to save the city some money and provide services at a higher level of quality, in the next 18 to 24 months, we're recommending that the city consider moving down to about 7, and it could potentially go lower. So we're sitting at a high of 23 people for our population count right now, moving it down to about 7. We know this because we've worked in the industry with over 500 man years of experience and working with cities and counties and states. We know a good ratio for the number of IT people that are necessary. And here, that's about it. In reality, you saw that chart earlier where cities that have a higher population than you are doing it with a single person. That's true. They've taken that paradigm and they've polished it to a point that they've got a single chief technology officer that manages the entire city. How do they do that? They have strategic partners. People that they can count on to do the things that we don't necessarily do well here. Matt, do you have anything to add at this point?
I attended a summit at the University of Florida about 2 months ago. And the summit was about technology and how it's going to impact local governments. And they discussed, I think, 5 different technologies. And the first one they discussed was the cloud. And they discussed that nearly 50% of all businesses are heading into the cloud or already there. And this is the next major wave of technology that's going to hit local governments. So based upon the recommendations that are consistent with not only what I've read, but what I've heard at the summit, I think this is the right direction to go.
So what does it mean? What does it mean for the rubber hitting the road, to use that terminology? Well, we're recommending that the city consider beginning this within the next 30 days. That will mean some organizational restructuring. That'll mean some staff reductions over the next 18 to 24 months. Some of those people will leave through attrition. They're already planning to leave the city. They're going to retire. They've got other jobs. They want to run their own business. And some will leave on their own. They'll say, you know, I don't want to be part of this. But the bottom line is multiple positions will need to be eliminated across the city within the IT departments. The TIB will need to be started, and training will need to be performed on how the participants in the TIB actually do their jobs. The program management office, we're going to stand up the program management office. It's going to need to have project managers, program managers, and people to supervise it. They'll be formally trained, formally educated, and formally certified. And we'll begin to see some significant operational changes, certainly within the next 6 months, and we really, truly believe it will be less than that. So, this is a reality. We're at 23 now, and we're recommending in the next 18 to 24 months, we get down to 7. And as the city begins to optimize this, we may find ourselves at less. I'm open to any questions.
I have a question, but actually I was going to get Chief Graham if he would come.
Yes.
Up.
Chief, I'm sorry. I should have had you have your input too. I apologize.
I just like to see him limp up.
You just like to see him limp?
Yeah, he's a little limp too.
Greg Graham, please, Chief.
Chief.
Yes, sir.
According to the organizational structure that has you, Mr. Brower, and it has the city council president breaking the ties, one question, are you comfortable with that structure? Two, are you comfortable with everything that's been presented here today from a police department standpoint?
I am. As long as what's being presented is what we're going to go forward with, I am. I think this clearly is the right way to go. I agree with trying to get push off as much as we can to outsourcing. We've had significant discussions about data within the police department that may or may not go out to the cloud I'm certainly open to it as long as I can ensure the safety and security of the information.
And that's a lot of the reasons why I'm asking, because of, you know, what you deal with is, you know, highly sensitive. Not that everything else isn't, but.
Well, we have stuff in our computer system that's actually illegal for you to look at. I mean, if you viewed it, you could go to jail. So it's pretty significant to us to make sure that what our data is secure and can't get out there, or nor can it be manipulated or changed. And we've had long discussions about that. But it's not that I couldn't get to a comfort level where that could get pushed off to a cloud or somewhere. We're currently talking to FDLE and the FBI about what they're doing, because they're looking at it too, and security is the issue. But I think it'll work. I think it'll work fine. I doubt very seriously there'll be, it's going to have to be a bizarre situation for the council president to have to break a tie. I think Matt and I are both wanting the right thing to be done for the city, and I think we're going to make sure that occurs.
Such a vision of kumbaya.
Yeah, we're going to hug.
But, well, I would hope that the city council president didn't have to break a tie, but I guess that's why it's put in place.
Sure.
I mean, I like the structure, the way it's set up. I think this is the way to go, but that's just my personal opinion. But I wanted yours to make sure that you were on board completely with it.
Yes, sir.
From a safety standpoint.
I am. The way it's set up now, I'm absolutely, totally on board.
And to be fair, Mr. Brower, your opinions on everything?
I concur. We've vetted this significantly. If I can refer to the mayor's comment earlier about wanting perhaps additional assistance, that, of course, would be brought before the TIB for evaluation and consideration, and that group, of course, would determine whether additional assistance was needed. And so the structure that is going to be put in place would evaluate those types of needs and what type of services would be available to meet those needs.
On a case-by-case basis?
Yes,
is that,
that is correct.
Yeah. As I'm sure, obviously, this company is well-positioned to do things of that nature. So.
But yes, I think it's the right way to go. I think in light of where the industry's best practices are, this mirrors that. This will allow us to become, of course, greater savings. I think it allows us to achieve a higher level of customer service and, of course, also enhance our security issues.
I'm sure my other computer savvy council members have questions, and so I'll give up the microphone.
I've got a couple of comments. I asked a lot of questions during the presentation with Dan. I've also talked to Matt about it, and I've talked a little bit about it with Greg. But I see this as an opportunity for us really to hit a home run with savings, while at the same time realizing some real improvements within our IT organization. I was flabbergasted that we were at that red level.
Absolutely.
You know, we obviously can't stay there. And it's no one person's fault. And this just didn't happen overnight. It happened over the years. So thank you for your help in that.
Our pleasure. And Mr. President, just to reiterate the point that Chief Grant made, when we talk about strategic partnering to move things out into a cloud environment, because of the sensitivity of what we're dealing with over at OPD, that this all happens over a phased approach. Nothing happens on day one, but it happens over time.
Right.
And there simply are questions that we still have to answer as to how valid of a solution it's going to be for the police department. We know currently that there are things that can be moved immediately, but there are other more strategic, more sensitive, more secure areas that have to be moved over time. There are certainly organizations that provide this level of service all the way, you know, up the chain of in law enforcement. So that opportunity is there. What we have to do is ensure that the process is secure to meet Chief Graham's needs over time. So that's not the area of focus right out of the gate.
Okay, thank you. Question?
I would just basically concur. I was a little bit shocked myself to see that we were kind of like stuck in the mud, so to speak, with the technology, looking the way, you know, changes have been made. And obviously in my world with investments, we look at companies and we see that they're succeeding so well because they've been able to trim because of the advancements in technology. So this is, even though it's a sad thing that people have to lose their jobs and stuff like that, it's a necessary evil to keep up with in order to, you know, promise our constituents that we're trying to do the right thing for them. And I think the information that you presented was just eye-opening and great. Appreciate that.
I concur that I really enjoyed your presentation this morning.
Thank you.
I think it's a must that we change and get started with this.
Ms. Rich, any comments?
Ditto. I think we should. I think it seems as though that's the only way to go if we want to keep our head above water. So we need to get started.
I think so.
And I truly feel bad for anyone that has to lose their job, but we don't have a choice.
And this system will be safer overall compared to what we're doing now.
If I understood
you correctly.
Theoretically, the capabilities from a security standpoint are certainly there, but more so the capabilities from an operational disaster standpoint are much more firm in this type of a scenario. If we pick a particular location, let's say your strategic partner is in Chicago, but maybe they've got six other facilities across the United States, if a flood happens here or a hurricane happens here, yes, things like the internet still have to be available, but it's relatively difficult to anticipate the internet disappearing for any extended period of time. But let's even say it does. Let's say a flood comes through and multiple ways within and out of the city on the internet are not there. Other than OPD and the fire department, we're not really dealing with life, limb, and the pursuit of happiness if the finance system is not available for a couple of hours. So the ability to recover from a major disaster like that is greatly enhanced in this scenario.
Well, we might want to pick up the garbage. Otherwise, that would get a little...
That's true, yes. But that happens via walkie-talkie.
Yeah, that's correct. Any further questions? I think sounds like we got somewhat of a consensus here.
I think so.
Direction we need to go.
I think so. We appreciate Council's time and your input on this. Appreciate the Corps' input on this. This has been a long process, a well-vetted process, one that obviously is mirroring best standards, practice, and industry. So I think this is the right course of action.
Okay. You need anything further from us?
We do not.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time, thank you for your support, and also thank everyone in the city for...
See if there's any more public comments. Before we wrap up, no further comments. We are adjourned. Okay. I won't say anything about the book.
Nothing.